And good evening and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. I'm Matt Trenton, I'm John Coffey. Jenny James along with Ryan Elliott helping out on the show behind the scenes as always. We've got a good show coming up. We'll be talking with the head softball coach at Northwest Missouri State, Ryan Anderson, along with player off his squad and catcher Jessica Rowley. We'll also talk with athletic director Mel Churchman, and we've got a special guest coming in as well, and the golf coach at Northwest Missouri State, as Andy Peterson will be joining us a little bit later on during the program. So we've got a lot coming up on our program this evening. And Matt Trenton, unfortunately, we're not talking about an Elite Eight trip this time around, as the Bearcat men's basketball team had a tough game as they lost in their opening round game of the NCAA Division II Central Regional Tournament at Bearcat Arena on Saturday, losing to a team that got hot at the right time, and Minnesota State made their way all the way into the championship game on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's a tough way to go, and we've been so fortunate over the years to see a lot of good basketball for Northwest Missouri State, especially during this Ben McCollum era, starting out with the Sweet 16 in 2014 all the way through 2017, and ended up leading to a national championship last year. So disappointed to see they couldn't get over the hump this year, and had some opportunities there that first half, and even the start of the second half. Came out and got some open looks against Minnesota State. They just weren't able to fall there early on. And then as the game went on, the defense from Northwest Missouri State was there holding the Mavericks to a season-low 60 points. But Charlie Brown stepped up and knocked down some big shots for him when it counted down the stretch and scored all 23 of his points in the second half. And that was the kind of the difference there that he was able to go off. And so a tough way to go, but still, a great season when you go 27-4. You win the MIAA regular season tournament, MIAA tournament as well, and ended up hosting the region. So, did a lot of good things. It's just that's how basketball is. One bad shooting night, and it can end it all, and that's what we saw this week.
I really thought a turning point in that game was right at halftime with that shot by Carlos Anderson, a three that at the buzzer that sent to Minnesota State in with a one-point lead after Northwest fought back, had the lead there late in the first half, and just really changed momentum, and Minnesota State came out in the second half and really built off of that the rest of the way.
No, I think you're exactly right. And I don't think that that was a deflating shot for the Northwest side. I mean, they were down 15-5, went on a 14-0 run, took a lead, and had the lead right before that shot, just before halftime, and were really playing well to that point as the half started to wind down. But that sent such a surge into the Minnesota State locker room, and they took so much confidence that, hey, we can hang with these guys, best team in the region, but we know we can come out and beat them. And also, maybe a little more ammo on their side, too, trying to show Joey Wittes that maybe he's missing out on something by going to Northwest. And so, yeah, they came out a little more amped up at the start of that second half, a little more confidence. And as they hung around throughout that basketball game, it really paid off for them. So, again, Northwest didn't necessarily play poorly, especially in the defensive end, but Minnesota State did enough and hit enough shots that it carried them to a win there in the opening round of the tournament, but then also a semifinal win, too, over Southwest Minnesota State, who was a veteran team who was here last year in the region championship. So that shot did a lot for the momentum in that game, but also through the tournament carrying them to the region championship.
And even though Northwest didn't make it to the championship game this year in the Central Region, for fans of basketball that came out the rest of that tournament, they saw a lot of good basketball being played the rest of the way.
Yeah, they really did. When you look at that the championship game that we saw on Tuesday between Northern State and Minnesota State, we talk about what Minnesota State did to get there. Then, Northern is now 34-3 and heading on to the Elite Eight, and they were kind of right there on Northwest's heels waiting for them to slip up in order to host the region themselves. But the Wolves came in with a lot to prove, only won 22 games last year, and head coach Paul Sather really did a good job of building them up. And when you look at Northern State and how they play, but also the character kids they have on their team, it feels like there's some simulators there to Northwest. So even though we couldn't see the Bearcats win it, it's fun to see Northern State represent the region and really play a barn burner with Minnesota State in that region championship.
And, of course, Northwest defeated Northern State earlier this season in a game down in St. Joseph for that Hillier Classic. So, again, that kind of goes to the type of schedule the Bearcats played all year long, playing a very respectable and probably one of the toughest non-conference schedules of any team in Division II.
Well, you know, we talked about it on that on Tuesday night, broadcasting that game on NCAA.com for Northern State, that they had a tough non-conference schedule when you look at what they did within the region of taking on Northwest, Washburn, and Missouri Southern there early in the season. Washburn and Missouri Southern, of course, also tournament teams. The only game that they lost out of that stretch was to Northwest Missouri State, and the Bearcats beat them by 11 down in St. Joe. And Hey, Coach McCollum really did a good job of building that up, making it a tough schedule early on to where, you know, they were battle-tested once it came time down the stretch, and Northwest had been in those situations before, and I think that's what kind of led to you face some adversity in the MIAA championship game against Washburn with Justin Pitts missing most of that second half with a foot injury. You see that lead to a win there, just not quite as fortunate there in that first-round tournament game.
Well, as the winter sports season comes to a close, we got a lot of action on the spring side of things, and this weekend, a Bearcat softball, we'll be talking a lot more about that coming up a little bit later during our program, but an opportunity this weekend to get some games at Bearcat Field, which wasn't originally scheduled.
Yeah, getting that home opener coming in a little earlier than I guess you expected as this weekend was coming down thanks to some weather. Adjusting the schedule, so we'll have four games here in Maryville instead of playing down in St. Joseph this weekend, and so this will be a good chance if, you know, Bearcat fans want to take advantage of some nicer weather that we finally have coming around to get out and watch some softball. I mean, this is a team that's playing well, 9-7 overall. They're 3-1 in the MIAA. Took 3 of 4 last weekend from Lincoln and Leonardwood. And when you look at the numbers that they're putting up right now, and you know, second in the conference in batting average, home runs, on base percentage, also first in the MIAA in ERA, earned runs allowed, first in walks given up, also fourth on opponent batting average. They're a complete team that is putting it together, playing very good softball right now, and it's going to be very scary as this season goes on.
Another team playing pretty good baseball right now is the Northwest Missouri State baseball team. They're on the road this weekend against Leonardwood. Their schedule's been changed up a bit due to anticipated weather in the St. Charles area. They back things up for it's now Saturday, Sunday, and Monday in St. Charles as they go on the road, but they won a couple of good MIAA weekend series, and then a non-conference win on Wednesday, yesterday, against William Jewell.
Yeah, and that win over William Jewell, able to pull that one out late, so it was tied 10-10 late, and a little bit of a rally there in the last few innings. They pulled out 12-10. Our guest last week, Logan Rycraft, coming up, getting on base early in that one. Hudson Bildo contributing and in up the Bearcats plate in 2 runs to pull out a 12-10 win there, but playing well, took 2 of 3 last weekend from Northern State as well, currently tied for third in the MIAA standings at 7-2 in conference play. Similar to the softball team, they're doing well from the pitcher's mound. Number one in the MIAA and ERA and opponent's batting average in conference games so far. And so doing a good job of controlling it from there and getting some timely hitting down the stretch. And that's making this another very dangerous team.
And for the tennis team, a couple wins over Newman earlier this week. The women's team, a win over Missouri Western. I think talking with Coach Mark Rosewell this afternoon, I think that's their 32nd straight victory against the Missouri Western women. Not that he's counting, but he got that. And then they're on the road tomorrow as they'll be in Arkadelphia, Arkansas to face Wachita Baptist. So
he said that, a good start. He said that dates back to his first year, yeah. The last time they beat.
Yeah.
Were you around for that one?
Yeah, I think so.
Not on the team, though, right?
No.
Okay.
I played under Dr. Bird back before Mark got here. But
I just assumed Coach Rosewell was here since 1905.
All right. Well, they're off to a good start, so everything's looking good so far with the spring sports.
Yeah, you got the weather finally turning for us as well, so hopefully it's going to lead to a lot more success here in Bearcat Nation.
A reminder that the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show is underwritten by the Stuner Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Stuner Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. When we come back, we'll talk with the athletic director of Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchman. That's coming up right after this from Carson's in downtown Maryville.
Including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point in Maryville. Their memory care program offers residents emotional and social support, art, music, pet therapies, and more. More at 660-562-2799 or at oakpointmaryville.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Audiovisual, providing customers with sales, design, service, and installation of surveillance and security systems for homes and business, as well as paging and public address systems. More information is available at 660-853-2319.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter Agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mount City.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Joined now by the athletic director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchman. Mel, let's go back to last weekend. The Central Region hosted the Central Region Tournament on the Northwest campus. Unfortunately, the Bearcat men came up a little bit short in that, but still a lot of work to be done to host the rest of that tournament. And I know a lot of volunteers really spent a lot of hours helping make that a success this past weekend.
Well, we really did, John. Unfortunately, we lost in the first round, but I thought it was really a great tournament. We had seven other schools here. We got compliments from every one of them when they left. I really want to thank our staff, our administrative staff, Mark Clements and Laurie Hopkins, Scott Nielsen, Marshall Fay, Mackenzie McGuire, and of course Andy Peterson ran the. He was our tournament director and did an awesome job. We had so much help from our people that do the work around the campus. All those people that are involved with custodial work and marketing and the branding. Brandon Stanley's group did a great job of the branding. He and Kim, everybody chips in, and it really made our tournament a first class affair. And Jeff Morgan, basketball coach at Harding, is the regional chair. He was here last year, so it was kind of fun to have Jeff back. And the supervisor of officials, John Blazek, actually was a football coach here for 1 year, I think, back in Vern Thompson years.
Yeah.
You remember him.
Oh, yeah.
And so he was great. So it was just it was a lot of fun. Like I said, it was disappointing that we weren't playing, but yet everything went off really well.
And, besides the people that are employed by Northwest that volunteer their time, there's a lot of just community people that you see in the stands from game to game that come to all the Bearcat games that stepped up and helped out volunteer in other ways throughout the
season. We had a lot of volunteers that helped with ushering and helped with the hospitality room and all that, some friends of ours, and, just so many people. It takes a lot of people, and the crowd Saturday night when we played was awesome. It was an incredible crowd, and we had a lot of a number of our fans that came back on Sunday night and Monday night or Tuesday night for the championship game just to watch some good basketball, and I think they were well entertained.
Oh, no doubt about it. Again, with Northwest out of it, unfortunate, but just from a pure basketball standpoint, if you like basketball, you saw some pretty good games on Sunday and Tuesday as well.
Well, really, I could see why Northern State was 31-3 or whatever it was, and Mankato just was on a roll, and, I was a little disappointed. I thought Southwest Minnesota and Northern would be in the finals, but, Mankato handled it, and I think it was a four-point game yet with under a minute to go in the championship. So, I think Northern ended up being the third seed now in the national tournament, and who knows, they could go a long ways.
Yeah, it looks like they've got players that would be a kind of a tough matchup for a lot of teams.
Yeah, they're big people, play really well, and, they've got some bulk to them, so they take up a lot of space, and they're pretty good ball players.
Well, my turn attention to spring sports. Matt and I just talked a little bit about some of the things coming up this weekend and how the teams are off to a good start, but really things looking pretty encouraging for these teams right now.
Well, we've had, it's been a good spring. Our indoor track conference meet, our women finished third, only a few points out of second. I think that's the highest they've finished in a long time. Baseball's off to a great start in the conference. I think they're 7-2 right now in the conference. They have a a really big series this weekend at Lindenwood. Going to be Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. They moved it a day. And then softball is 3-1 in the conference, and we've got some non-conference games that were supposed to be at Missouri Western, but now because of the weather, we're going to switch some of those. We're going to have, our team's going to play four games here on Saturday and Sunday, and there'll be four other games. So there'll be four games on Saturday, four games on Sunday out at the softball complex. So a lot going on.
Yeah, it'd be nice for the softball team to finally get a chance to play some home games here.
Boy, I tell you, with the weather the way it is, you know, it kind of dictates that. We had our first home games in baseball this past weekend. With Northeastern State, we took the two games on Friday, and then on Saturday, unfortunately, we lost 1-3-2. But really, some really good baseball, and so we're looking forward to having our women's softball team on campus this weekend.
And then, of course, you got outdoor track coming around the corner, and they have a lot to build off of from that indoor season you talked about. So you see them out and trying to get ready to roll for the season, and it looks like it should be a lot of fun for them as well.
Well, they're gonna go to a meet tomorrow at Emporia. It's supposed to be nice weather down at Emporia, so they're excited about being outdoors. And then our women's golf team starts on Monday. We have a tournament at St. Joe on Monday and Tuesday, and then they have another tournament, I think, next weekend at Kearney. So we've got them all going now, and Rosie's going on the road. He's on the road right now. They have matches in Arkansas on Saturday and Sunday, and then he's coming back, and he's got matches just about every week next week over spring break right here at home. So hopefully we'll have some good weather, and people can come out and see them as well.
It's hard to believe spring break is here, and then when you cut past spring break, it's not very long. You got about a month to get a lot of things going on campus here with a lot of the sports coming up.
Well, that's true. You know, spring football, they're having their last practice before spring break right now. They're finishing up today. And they'll have a little thing tomorrow morning, I think, and then they'll get out of here. When they come back, there's only a few weeks left, and we have a spring game, and I think 4 weeks, and we have graduation. So once you get to spring break at Northwest Missouri, there's not much left. I know that.
Well, that is true. Again, we're talking with the athletic director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchman. We'll continue and talk more with Mel right after this from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville. Heinlein provides furniture and flooring for every room in the house, as well as mattresses. More information is available at heinleinhomefurnishings.com. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock. Greg Fisher and his team offer installation and service of overhead doors from Rainer and LiftMaster operators. More at 660-582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. And welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We're broadcasting live on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. I mentioned before the break that we're continuing on to talk with the athletic director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchman. Well, we've got a special guest as well. Carol Churchman is with us. And Carol, we've had you on a couple times through the years down in Florence, Alabama, when the teams were down there playing for the national championship in football. And so I thought Mel gets ready to retire here, it'd be good to get you on one more time here. So it's good to have you here.
Well, nice being here. Thank you.
And I know for both you and Mel, you've got a lot coming up here after retirement here at the end of April. So it looks like you guys have a lot planned for your retirement days here.
Well, I have quite a list. So I hope he can fulfill some of those things. The first list is a huge handyman list. that is a major joke. That will never occur. So we'll move right along to the trips list.
Yeah, hey, Mel was telling me that you got a nice trip coming up here before too long.
We do. A couple of weeks in Italy, so with some of our friends. So should be fun. We hope so.
Well, I know through the years, when you talk about all the success you've had, and I'm not only as a football coach, but as athletic director, you've always been good to credit Carol as well as the rest of the wives of your assistant coaches for helping with that success.
Well, there's no doubt about it, John. The profession we're in, as coaches and then even as an athletic director, it just takes a lot of time, and you're gone a lot, and I've been blessed, and I think our coaches here have all been blessed with wives that understand that and really help keep your family together, and in some cases, in my case, probably raise our daughters, but I know a lot more than I had anything to do with it, and all three of them have turned out pretty good, so I'm just thankful that Carol's very independent and she can do those kinds of things, and that's the way you have to be if you're going to be a successful coach's wife.
Yeah, Carol, I know at one point you thought you had Mel retired one other time before you went back to work here.
I did, and he surprised me one day when he said, "We're moving back to Maryville," and I said, "You're kidding." And he wasn't. but it all fell into place really well, and our house sold the first day we listed it, and we bought one here immediately, and it just all fell into place, so it was definitely God's plan.
I know Maryville's been a special place for you and Mel.
It has. It's wonderful. We've got such good friends here and wonderful people that we work with at the university, and and talking about coaches' wives, just outstanding wives who are very capable individuals, and I think it's wonderful how they take their families to practices and so they can see what their daddy does, why their daddy's not home, and they just do a good job. And I appreciate all the little kids because I kind of like to adopt them, and I bribe them with candy. I don't know if the parents appreciate that, but it's sure fun for me.
I think when you go back to what Mel tried to instill with the football team as well as athletic director, that family atmosphere within the athletic department, and I think that really carries over to the players a little bit as well, to where they kind of pick up on that, and they become a little bit quite a bit of a family as well.
Absolutely, and they love seeing those families and being part of families, and our coaching families do a good job of taking them in and making them part of that, and the kids get to know the players, and that's really a special thing.
Now, when we've had you on in the past, you've always talked about a couple of favorite plays that you kept trying to get Mel to run as a football coach.
Yes, in fact, the truth is people don't know that I am really quite an expert in the field of football, and Mel would counsel with me regularly. Yeah, because the game of football is really quite simple, and we pointed that out before, that if the defense would just keep intercepting passes, it would be so simple. Or if they would just sack the quarterback every time, how hard could that be?
Yeah, I agree.
Really,
I agree.
So, yeah, it's pretty basic.
So do you take some of those tips?
Yeah.
Well,
it does sound simple, and I think sometimes our fans feel that way too, that it's really pretty simple, but there is just a little bit more to it than that, but no, it's... like Carol said, the one thing that I really appreciate is how our coaches all demonstrate and live their lives as especially our coaches, as what it really means to be a good father and a good husband, and that's a tremendous example that we don't always see at this time in our in our society, and so I just think that's really important. And I'm really thankful that that's the way they conduct themselves.
And again, as we're talking with Carol there, I think that carries over to the players where they see that example, and it really helps instill that team and family atmosphere that really is important as the wins and losses that you have to.
Well, it is, and that's what, you know, that's what makes, as coaches, that's what makes us feel good, is when those young men go out and they graduate and they're out in you know, living their lives, and they have their own families, and they've learned, if they haven't learned at home, then they've learned from our coaches what it, like I said, what it means to be a good father and a good husband.
As you retire, for both of you here, when you look back at your time in Maryville, both when Mel was a football coach as well as athletic director, what are some of the things that really stand out to you memory-wise through the years here?
Okay. Well, in general, I would say, in fact, I was talking to Megan Tollefson about her husband David, and I said one of the very satisfying, fun things was to see these young men green behind the ears coming to college their freshman year, some of them from big cities and to little old Maryville, you know, and they go from a boy to a man, and then, you know, to getting married many times to Northwest girls, Northwest graduates, and having families and being really good fathers. And that's probably more rewarding than anything. And a lot of those players I had in classes at the university, and I think that's really very rewarding.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, John, that really it's relationships. And, you know, you have fun. You enjoy the games. You enjoy the practices. You enjoy the, you know, just the family atmosphere that you have each year with your team. But I really think I get it just as much, if not more, enjoyment seeing them later on and when they come back and finding out what they're doing, and the success stories that we see, really, that's really rewarding.
And, Carol, I know you get a chance to hear a lot of the stories through the years from Mill, and when you get together with a lot of friends through the years. So you get a chance to hear some of these stories, and you enjoy those. So.
There are a lot of good stories. I keep telling him he needs to write a book, but he's not crazy about that. But they've got lots of stories. What always amazes me is, and maybe it's a man thing, how they can remember, oh, yes, I remember that game. You remember the third play in the second quarter of, you know, 1996, and when so-and-so did such and such. I think you have got to be kidding me, you know.
I remember that, but sometimes I can't even remember what happened breakfast in the morning.
Well, I can't remember that either, but I can remember those.
I can remember those games. all those details. It's fun.
Just real quick, you might just talk a little bit about what the future plans hold for both of you.
Well, we, you know, right now we don't have any plans to leave Maryville. You know, we've got three daughters, one in Texas, one in Mississippi, three grandkids in Texas, three in Mississippi, and then our youngest daughter, Cindy's in Kansas City with our two youngest grandchildren. We were talking five of our six grandkids in the South will be in college or out of college next year, so we're probably needed more with the little ones here in Kansas City. And so, and we love Maryville, and so, you know, I think we'll stay in Maryville until it gets real cold, and then I'll probably bail and
we'll
move
travel
south somewhere.
And then, yeah.
Well, you got the option to do that now.
Yeah, so. That's right, and you know, and that's a good part of it. And so, we're just not getting caught up in what we're going to do. We figure it'll all work out.
And well, both Mel and Carol, I know, speaking for everyone involved with KXCV as well as the Bearcat Radio Network, all the things you've done for us throughout the years is very much appreciated, and we wish both of you the best of luck here.
Well, thank you, and we've appreciated you.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Great job.
Look forward to keeping around.
All right.
We'll still be around.
Oh, so. Okay, sounds good. And that's Mel and Carol Churchma here on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll come back. We'll talk some softball as well as golf. Well, that's all coming up on the show right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mount City.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware and custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through the ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back into the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Now talking Northwest Missouri State softball with head coach Ryan Anderson. And softball getting a little bit of an adjustment. Supposed to be playing down in St. Joseph due to some weather concerns. Shuffling this around to where you're going to play two at home on Saturday and two at home on Sunday. And so kind of talking about it off the air, but not having to travel, that's the upside to it, right?
Oh, it's great not having to get back on the bus. We've been on the bus for 4 weeks now, so just being able to play at home and sleep in our own beds and, you know, not have much to worry about other than getting to the field. So
it feels like, I'm sure we're harping on it every time, but on the road that much to start. But the results have been positive. You're playing good softball so far, going 3-1 last weekend, Lindenwood and Lincoln. Just your take early on within that first week in MIAA softball.
You know, Lindenwood is a very athletic team. They are a totally different team from last year, playing on their field. It's all turf field, which you don't see that much in softball, so they knew how to play there. They hit the ball into the ground that hopped, and they got singles and doubles. And, you know, the day before, they pounded the ball against Missouri Western as well. So they were a hot team, and, you know, coming out of 3-1, we weren't unhappy with it. We had a chance to be 4-0, but we couldn't get on their pitcher quick enough. And, you know, we played well for our game, so, you know, we were happy with that.
Your side thoughts, too, on Lindenwood, the all-turf field. Do you like that every hop is true with it, or do you prefer that all-natural?
Oh, from that side, it's great. Yeah. You know, there's no rocks, there's no holes, there's nothing bad like that. When it's 2 foot of snow, you can scrape it off and still practice. So, you know, from that side, it'd be great. But when your bases are 60 feet and your first and third baseman play 40 feet away or 45 feet away, it can get close. It makes some balls come very fast to the third baseman. So it changes the game. It is. It's different. But, you know, Central Oklahoma, Pitt State, Emporia, they've all put turf fields in now as well. So I think the game's changed a little bit.
Well, in the long run, too, the more people get turf, the more that the home field advantage kind of sticks with Northwest, too, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. It's one of those that, you know, a team with turf can actually get used to playing on it and, you know the hops and know how quick it is. And so, but, you know, we got to take care of ourselves at home this weekend. So,
well, the Bearcats last weekend took two from Lincoln, split with Lindenwood. Overall, you outscore opponents 34-11 in that that trip. In the wins alone, 29-4. The bats were caught early on, staying that way. Is there anything in particular you can put your thumb on to what's working right now?
I think the good thing is we don't have one or two players that are carrying us. You know, it's somebody different every day. You know, two to three different people that are coming up with the big hits, that are getting on base, that are allowing us to have a chance to score runs. So, you know, the meat of the order, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 right now, yeah, they put up some big numbers, but there's been days where they're off. And, you know, everybody around them have hit the ball. So, you know, I think that's our biggest thing right now is that everybody in the lineup, we're just getting up swinging. We're aggressive. We're going after strikes, and we're expecting to hit the ball.
What are you more pleased with from the coaching standpoint with, I mean, you're second in the conference, batting average, home runs, on base percentage. You're also third in fewest strikeouts. You lean one way or the other, the ball's getting put in play, or that it's being put in play productively?
Well, you know, even from the fall, we've preached if we're aggressive at the plate, we are better hitters. And, you know, I struggle with people getting up to bat and taking pitches, because now you're putting the umpire, they have a bigger role in the game now. So if they're going to throw a strike, we're going to hit it someplace, and we want to have that mentality. You know, we're going up there to hit.
Overall, the pitching has held up in the same way with just the ERA, just over 3. Taylor Blackford last weekend was very good, 2-0, 12 innings, only give up 3 earned runs. What's your takeaway from the pitching so far, and especially going there, and you mentioned what Lindenwood has as far as that field goes, and she held them to just 2 runs on her start.
Yeah. No, all of our pitchers are throwing well, and that's what we have to be happy with right now. It's, you know, we're playing in a different era of softball with hot bats, and people are swinging for home runs, and, you know, we're trying to teach our pitchers, or we're trying to get our pitchers to understand that we want outs. You know, if it's a 1-pitch out, if it's a 4-pitch at bat, we want to get ahead, and we want to work ahead, and, you know, make the hitters get themselves out. So our pitchers have kind of, you know, taken a hold of that and run with it, and, you know, they're understanding the fact that, you know, let their defense help them. We don't have to strike out 10 to 12 to 15 a game. We just have to get outs.
Well, and you talk about that. Everybody wants to lean on the strikeout because it's more the sexy stat, but you look at what she did. She had 3 strikeouts all weekend, but induced 23 groundouts over those two softball games. I mean, she's playing right into what you're preaching there, too, so that's pretty huge.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, I tell them at the start of the year, I hope everybody can average 10 to 12 strikeouts a game. If not, let's get the outs. You know, and, you know, I want them to be fresh in the 6th and 7th inning. If we can have a small pitch count, let's do it. But let's find a way to get some outs and get out of the inning and let the offense take over.
Well, our guest for softball this evening, Jessica Rowey, a senior catcher out of Liberty, Missouri. How much ownership does she have as far as being behind the backstop, game in, game out, no matter who's pitching? She's right there, and that consistent factor they have.
Well, you know, I talk to the catchers more than I do the pitchers. You know, I ask the pitchers how they're feeling, but realistically,
you're never going to tell you the truth, right?
They're always a superstar, so, you know, I talk to Jess a lot, and, you know, I want her to be honest, and, you know, if somebody's done, they're done. You know, if we need to work certain pitches, let's do it. But, you know, we try to talk pregame as well of what we want to do with some hitters and where we want to pitch them. But it depends who's pitching as well for us. But she's done well with that. You know, she understands the fact that, you know, Taylor has this, Rachel has this, Holly and Reagan do this. But let's work, pitch to their strengths. Let's get out of the inning. So she's done well.
And become a stalwart there in the middle of that lineup, too, batting fifth throughout. And this year, a .313 batting average and producing at the plate, too.
Yep, she's swinging the bat well. Getting it done. When people are getting on base, she's still aggressive swinging the bat. And, you know, we expect more for that the rest of the year.
Well, diving into this weekend, Concordia St. Paul and Upper Iowa coming up on Saturday, Sunday with Wayne State and Northern State. Some tough competition there within the region coming up for the first couple home games.
Yeah, this tournament was supposed to be in St. Joe, like you said, but, you know, they're getting to come to our place. We're playing 3 teams that I think are hitting over .310 as a team, and, you know, all of them are playing well. So there's no easy teams coming in this weekend. They're all teams that we are going to have to work. We're going to be smart at the plate, smart at the field, you know, and they're all coming off good 2 weeks. You know, they haven't played poorly, so they're coming in hot, and we got to be ready to play.
Well, it should be a fun weekend, and hopefully the sun shines on some Bearcat softball this weekend as well. Coach, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That's Ryan Anderson, Northwest Missouri State Bearcat softball coach, 9-7 on the season, and they will be matching up this weekend at home with Concordia St. Paul and Upper Iowa on Saturday, and then Sunday, Wayne State and Northern State. We're going to take a break. Be back. Talk more Bearcat softball on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for Bearcat Radio Network comes from SSM Health St. Francis Hospital, offering a range of health services in the Northwest Missouri region, including 24/7 emergency services and cancer care. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Northwest Foundation, providing support for Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner, south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from your local family-owned Orslin Farm and Home, with more than 30 stores throughout the region. Orslin provides customers with the tools and materials necessary for jobs on the farm, in the garage, or at home. More information at OrslinFarmHome.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back into the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson Sports Grill, downtown Maryville. Matt Tritton now joined by Northwest Missouri State senior, a catcher on the softball team, Jessica Roddy from Liberty, Missouri. Jessica, appreciate you coming on the show. And even though it wasn't originally planned that way, it has to be feel good to be able to get back home for some softball games this weekend.
Oh, it's awesome. I love playing at home, and especially with us already having to play home next week, and it was good to come back and already have a step into what we're trying to do. And I don't know. It's just really nice playing at our home field, because riding on the bus kind of sucks, going to St. Joe and back all the time. And so just being able to play at home is awesome.
And new scoreboard, right?
Hmm?
New scoreboard, right?
Yes.
So you're going to light it up.
Very excited
right?
about that. Super excited about the new scoreboard. Coach T, he told us at the beginning of fall, he was like, oh, we got the new scoreboard for the softball team. We were all crazy about it. We've been waiting for it, so.
Who will be the first one to send a fly ball into it and knock out a light?
Ooh, that could be almost anybody on our team. That's going to be a good competition for us, actually. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, since you brought that up, it has been a pretty good season for the power numbers
yes.
so far. Second in the MIAA with 20 home runs on the season. 11th in the nation with
oh, wow.
1.25 home runs per game. I mean, the power numbers have been there. Is there anything specific early on that's working, or has everybody just seen the ball really well?
I mean, we always strive to be consistent in hitting, and if it goes over, that's awesome. I know a lot, like Aaron and Caitlin were really, they're really strong power hitters, but they're also very consistent hitters. So when they step up, we always know that more times than not that they're going to get a hit, and when it goes over is awesome.
Well, you know, we talked with Abigail Gilson on the show
yes.
a couple weeks ago as well, and she kind of alluded to it, but the depth in this lineup, I mean, the power number's there too, but everybody's consistently
mm-hmm.
giving a good at-bat, and I think there was only, at the time, one player in the starting nine not batting 300 or better.
Yes.
So, I mean, to have that, I mean, it's pretty dangerous, especially
mm-hmm.
early on in
I
the
like
season.
I think so, too, yeah.
Well, when you go into conference play like we saw last weekend, is it get amped up a little bit more to come out and put up runs like you did?
Yes. We have a very tough conference, so be able to go out and get as many runs as what we did was a really good feeling for us. And once we start hitting, we all get after it, and we all cheer each other on.
Well, and talking with Coach a moment ago, too, but 34 total runs in those four,
mm-hmm.
Four softball games. Is there something about being on the road that we had the chance to jump out early that kind of tips you off?
I mean, just knowing that it's our first conference games, we like to start out strong. And I feel like once one person starts hitting, it's just a domino effect for all of us, and we all just amp each other up, and that's what really gets our runs going, honestly.
Well, then returning home this weekend, going from the conference weekend last weekend to non-con this weekend with four games, Concordia St. Paul, Upper Iowa starting things off on Saturday. You look back at last year, the Bearcats 8-4 at home, only swept in one doubleheader
mm-hmm.
Playing at home. You mentioned you like being there.
Yeah.
There's something about it. You get up into Maryville, and Coach talked, there's only a handful of teams already with turf fields, so
mm-hmm.
that plays a role too. But the comfort level of getting off the bus and making someone else travel for once has to feel pretty good.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned turf. I'm not a huge fan of turf because I feel like it takes away from the game a lot, and balls come off really fast off of turf. And so that's why I like playing our home field, because it's just straight dirt, obviously, and there can be those crazy bounces and all that stuff. So I love playing at home, honestly.
It's the way softball's meant to
yes,
be played,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's an outdoor sport, put on the dirt as well, and that's paid off.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side of that, the defense has stepped up with some good games, too, and a lot of that goes to the pitching staff, which has been very good.
Yes.
Overall, ERA just over 3, first in the MIAA in earned runs allowed at 44, 71 strikeouts, 22 walks, which is the fewest in the MIAA. I mean, the pitching stats are backing up just what the hitters are doing,
mm-hmm.
too. I mean, when you put the nucleus together, that's a pretty potent team.
Yeah, deadly. It's deadly. That's what I think. our pitchers are very powerful. Each one has their own, like, significant role on our team. And each one has their strong suit, their strong pitches that I like to go with. And on each one, I would put them as a number one pitcher. Each one can step in and dominate a team, I think.
Well, and we had Taylor on previously as well, and she kind of talked about it too. But the depth that's there, it's tough to beat whenever you have tough pitcher after tough pitcher, regardless if they're starting or coming out of the pen a little bit later on. But when you figure in that depth, and then a pretty a catcher that's been around for a while as well, it's a pretty good combo, isn't it?
Yes. Last year we kind of struggled because we were fighting some injuries at that time, so we had to like put people in and rearrange everything that we weren't really used to. But with this year, we have a solid 5 pitchers that we are very strong for us. And if one starts struggling, I have full confidence in the next person that's going to come out. So.
Coach talked about trying to get everybody essentially to pitch to contact,
mm-hmm.
keep the fielders going, and don't worry about the strikeout as much. Is that something that some players struggle with a little bit more because they want to throw it by everybody instead of just make the right pitch?
We have a couple that like to overpower themselves, but I always have to constantly remind them, like, hey, you got a defense behind you that they make them play, you know? And I just pitch to get ground balls and pop-ups, and if a strikeout happens, then that's great. But yeah, there are a few that try to, but they definitely settle in once that first inning happens, so it's good.
Is there a more important relationship on a softball diamond than the pitcher-catcher?
I don't think so. You have to be on the same wavelength all the time, and my pitchers are very good with me, like kind of just reading my mind a little bit. Like, there's rarely will they shake me off or whatever, and if they're feeling something that I didn't think of, then I fully respect them shaking me off, and then I'll just work with them from that. And I think it's really awesome that communication that we have with each other, it has to be there every game. And I think there's not a more important relationship apart from the coach having relationships with everybody, but on the field that's the most important.
Is that a bond that immediately pitcher and catcher step foot on campus that happens there, or do you have to go through some of those battles on a field?
Both, I'd like to say. There's some that you click with easier than others, and sometimes you really have to be in that game situation to really start clicking with them. But since I've been here, I've pretty much clicked with the pitchers right away and have worked with them. So
we're talking Northwest Missouri State softball with Jessica Rye, a senior catcher from Liberty, Missouri, and also a successful recruiter, we could say, as well. little brother Robert Rye is going to be joining the football team next year as a freshman, and you had a little bit to do with that, right?
Yes, I like to think so. I actually know quite a few of the guys on the football team, so I talk to them and have them get into Coach Wright's ear a little bit, you know. And of course, Coach Wright was already talking to my brother and everything. And I fully believed that he was going to come here. He was still on the edge, you know, with everything. But I was all about it. I was like, go Cats. You're coming here. Get him for here for every football game. And he's actually playing basketball right now down at the semifinal for state. But
nice.
Football has his heart for sure. He has such a passion for it, and I honestly can't wait to see what he does on the field.
So I had the opportunity to see him play in high school a couple different times for Liberty. There's a lot of toughness there. At a running back that can take a kick, 40 handoffs in a game.
Yeah.
I assume that comes from a big sister beating him up when he's younger, right?
For sure, actually. We would definitely get into our fair share of fights, definitely. But he actually has done a lot for Liberty. He's been the quarterback, punter, kicker. He's honestly done it all. He actually played defense as well this past year, his senior year. And He just wanted to win games, and he knew if his coach actually told him, he's like, you know, this is going to hurt your running game a little bit because you don't want to be so tired. And he knew that, and he just was doing whatever he could to get the team to win.
So. Awesome. Well, looking forward to have another one of the Rice siblings on campus coming up this fall. We appreciate your time, and good luck this weekend. Four big games coming up.
Thank you.
That's Jessica Raya, Northwest Missouri State senior catcher, as the Bearcats. Four home games coming up, actually the home openers now that they were moved away from St. Joseph. But Concordia St. Paul and Upper Iowa coming up Saturday. Wayne State, Northern State coming up Sunday at on campus here at Northwest Missouri State University. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking Northwest Missouri State golf as things just getting set to start for the spring season within the week. We'll be joined by head coach Andy Peterson in just a bit here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce and Teal Twaddle and Dr. Brian Viertaler provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at 660-582-2273 or at compassdentalgroup.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or 582-8800.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back into the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Now talking a little bit of Northwest Missouri State women's golf with the head coach, Andy Peterson. Andy, appreciate you hopping on the show with us, and women's golf coming up, also a really busy weekend for you as well. Assistant Athletic Director in charge of facilities, and with the NCAA Central Region tournament rolling through, seven games in 3 days, really Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday. Yeah, pretty busy time for you.
It was, but Coach T kind of alluded to it. Our staff's so good. I was the tournament director, but between Scott and Lori and Mark and Marshall and McKenzie and Coach T himself, I mean, it was all hands on deck. We did a pretty good job, I think. We had seven other schools on campus over the course of however many days, and we got many compliments and thanks and, you know, first-class reports back. So that's what it's about. You try to do what's best for the student-athletes, you know, so branding the arena, trying to, you know, get – luckily, Mankato brought their band down Tuesday, but we had some other options that we were, you know, looking into just to try to create that sort of atmosphere, playoff atmosphere that you want. You know, because we've been fortunate enough to go through that the last 4 or 5 years, and just how special that is to the kids to be able to do that. So you want to do that for the teams you're hosting as well. We think we did, but you know, it's tough when you're not playing on Tuesday night, but at the same time, you got to put your best foot forward and do what's best for the student athletes that are competing.
It did seem like the folks had a good time. I know the Northern State fans were very into it. The Minnesota State folks and the band that we could see were also having a good time too. So, not what we hoped for, but in the end, got a good basketball game and a good night.
Right, yeah, and that was the other thing too. I mean, I told Coach Sather and the Northern boys when I was unlocking their locker room for them after the game. I said that was the easy part. You know, now you go to the Elite Eight and it gets tougher, and you've got to keep it in the region, is what I told them. So, you know, we've got it 3 of the last 4 years. It's been in our region, and now, you know, it's up to the Wolves now from Aberdeen to keep it there. So it was good. Kind of a rough 3 days, but got it done.
Well, in a big weekend now coming up for you too, as we open back up with golf play, as we saw the fall season go, and it seemed like that happened and came real quick, and all of a sudden we turn around and spring golf going back around. St. Joseph Country Club coming up, was it Monday and Tuesday, correct?
Correct, yep.
I mean, busy spring break for you with the start golf.
And you say the fall went fast, the spring goes faster because it's got, you know, I've got 2 weeks of break, but like this week we'll play two tournaments in a week. We've got an off, then a tournament, then an off, and then, you know, it's conference, so... It approaches fast, and the girls are trying. You know, we're trying to get as many holes, play as many holes as we can over the last, you know, few weeks. Weather's kind of hampered that a little bit. The range still isn't open out at Mazingo, so that slowed us down a little bit just with weather and the reconstruction and sod and stuff that they've done out there. So, you know, the girls have done a great job, I think, so far of just adapting and doing what they can and working on their games. It'll be a litmus test pretty fast this weekend to see where we're at and what's going on with everybody's games. We got a couple of injuries, nagging injuries that we're trying to fight through. But, yeah, Sunday we'll go down and play a practice round and see where everyone's at and play Monday, Tuesday. We got Wednesday, Thursday off, if you will, and then we'll leave and go to Kearney, Nebraska and play, you know, a practice round and two more rounds after that. So it's here. It's quick, and we've got, you know, we're still right on that bubble of making a regional from what we did in the fall. So that's what we're pushing for, and that's our goal.
Well, a couple seniors on team two, and Gia and Maddie, who put together some really good tournaments throughout the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, despite the layoff of a few months, finding a way to carry that over into the spring.
Yeah, and especially not just for them personally, but as a team, because they have five teammates who haven't played spring golf before. You know, the five freshmen have never been in this situation where they're trying to get their game to as high a level as possible, as quick as possible, without really having that backbone and background of, you know, being able to hit on the range every day and comfortable and you're in shorts and T-shirt. You know, that's not how it is. You know, I just made them, the first 3 or 4 days we had practice, they just had to play the Watson 9 in, you know, 3 or 4 layers of clothes and their hands are frozen. And
Makes it that much easier, though, when you get a day like this, right?
Well, exactly. And at the same time, it's not supposed to be the most beautiful weather in St. Joe on next weekend. And the same with Kearney. I don't know if we've ever been out to Kearney, and it's been beautiful. So, you know, you've got to get used to playing those elements anyway. But it's just hard to get to build confidence and to be really feel like you're prepared for a tournament, preparing that way. But, it's one of those... That's what I'm relying on Maddie and Gia the most for, is just to get the freshmen comfortable with, you know, where we're at, what we're playing, and how to go about getting that done.
For the players like that that have been through it, do they prefer the fall, or do they prefer the rapid schedule that you have in the spring to where, I mean, you're about 1 week and a month away from the MIAA championship starting up?
That's the key, you know, is the championships. That's what you're trending towards. They would all rather, they prefer the fall. The weather is nicer. You've been playing all summer. You know, you're just in a better situation altogether. But depending on who you ask, I would argue, too, it's a little more competitive in the spring because it's all about just grit and handling adversity and doing the best with what you got and not making things too big or too small. But at the same time, it's when it really counts. You know, like I said, you get into a regional or not into a regional, you have MIAA conference tournament, that sort of thing. So, you know, we play more rounds in the fall than we do the spring, just because that's the way I schedule it. But you could very easily argue that the rounds in the spring are more dire, more important.
Well, it'll have to do a lot to help out next year once we get the Hughes Fieldhouse all set up to where you're playing a lot of golf in December, January, February, and we roll around to these first couple tournaments and kind of picking up where you live off.
And you can swing, where you can swing and you can see ball flight. Because, you know, we've got a simulator. They can get in on the simulator, but you're still not seeing that true ball flight. You're still not getting that true feel of elements and what, you know. So, and there is, you know, simulator syndrome or whatever they call it, where if you do have a little mistake and the simulator's not picking it up, you're just honing that mistake in instead of the opposite, you know, hitting it well and keeping it going well. If you're off just a little bit and you're you know, not hitting like you're supposed to.
That's why I try to golf simulators more, because they don't tell me my mistakes.
Exactly. There's a lot more freedom there, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, Northwest Missouri State women's golf, getting things rolling Monday and Tuesday at the St. Joseph Country Club. Andy, appreciate your time and looking forward to it.
No problem, man. Thanks, man.
That's Andy Peterson, Northwest Missouri State women's golf coach, as they are opening things up in St. Joseph coming up on Monday and Tuesday. We'll take a break. Be back to wrap things up from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Home by Sonia at 103 South Main in Maryville. Home by Sonia provides full-service interior styling along with custom window coverings, flooring, furniture, and more. Information is available online at homebysonia.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Delbert's Garage at 714 North Depot in Maryville. Delbert and his team handle car and truck repairs from brakes and air conditioners to replacing engines and transmissions. Learn more at 660-562-0025.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for Bearcat Radio Network comes from SSM Health St. Francis Hospital, offering a range of health services in the Northwest Missouri region, including 24/7 emergency services and cancer care. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Well, back at the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson's in downtown Maryville. Appreciate all of our guests coming on here this evening, including Mel and Carol Churchma, softball head coach Ryan Anderson and his senior catcher Jess Karari, and the Northwest Missouri State head golf coach and Andy Peterson. As golf starting up right around the corner Monday and Tuesday in St. Joseph. Softball at home, actually, this weekend. They will play Concordia St. Paul at 9 a.m. Saturday, Upper Iowa at 11 a.m., then follow that up on Sunday with Wayne State at 9 a.m. and at Northern State at 11 a.m. So a busy weekend of softball here on campus in Maryville. It's going to wrap things up from the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Appreciate our behind-the-scenes help from Ryan Elliott and Jenny James. For John Coffey, I'm Matt Truton saying so long from Carson's.